I'm good.
All right, give me a test, Bill.
Microphone test, 1, 2, 3.
If you are able, I ask that you would please stand together as we begin our worship and song.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of Man.
Good morning. I want to welcome you to the West Irwin Church of Christ. We are glad you're here. It is a beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. Before we go any further, on the back of the row in front of you, you will see one of these cards. There is a side for both our members and our visitors. So regardless of which category you fall into this morning, we would love for you to fill one of those out for us so that we could have a record of your time with us today. At a point later in the service, some young men will be coming down the aisles and they'll pick those up. So now's a great time to do that when you're not paying attention to what I'm saying. Hopefully you heard that at least. A couple of things just to remind you about that are in the bulletin. We don't want to obviously rehash too much of that, but one of the big things that started here about a year and a half ago, and we mentioned it last week and do just want to mention it one more time, tomorrow night at 6 p.m. at Bruno's out on Old Jacksonville is our rite of passage. It is a night where we honor and encourage our students who are a part of this church who are turning 13. And so if you look in your bulletin, we actually have several. In fact, today is one of their birthdays, but I'm not going to embarrass Sebastian Canfield and tell you that today is his birthday, but he turns 13 today. And so it's just a night for us to encourage those kids, to honor them. And so it is open to the entire church. It is not just youth group families or anything like that. And so if you want to come join us tomorrow night and be an encouragement to those kids, I know they would love to have you. You'll also see a giant cow in your bulletin. We are having a Western-themed VBS this year that is lasting the totality of the summer on Wednesday nights, and Donnie is still looking for all sorts of jobs, help you can do with that. And if you go back to the entrance of the children's wing in the check-in area, you will see a sign-up list with spaces where you can sign up to help. And if you have any questions about what those jobs entail, you can reach out to Donnie Cook, and she can give you all the information you could possibly need. She has been hoarding stuff for the last month and a half. She is a crafty lady, and it's gonna, the theming is so neat, and it's gonna be a wonderful summer. It was an awesome experience last year to see that play out throughout the whole summer. Tonight is our third Sunday night of the month, which means small groups tonight. So we want to encourage you, we won't have any activities here at the building, to be a part, whether that's a luncheon with your group or evening or however your group gets together, to be a part of that. Also would ask you just to continue to remember the family of Debbie Jones. Yesterday was her memorial service, her celebration of life, and that's truly what it was. And so for those that were a part of that, it was a wonderful way to honor her, but please continue to remember Greg and their boys and grandchildren as well. And then last but not least, this is not a serious note. I was going to try to make a joke out of it, but some of you got shirts on Mother's Day that were not the size you were hoping for. And Pat has a deal for you, but it's a two for one. It's not a get two and give none. If you got a shirt that's too big and you want to bring it back, we've got plenty of shirts that are smaller. We do not have any shirts that are bigger. So if you want to trade one in, she's already got a waiting list of people who would love to have a larger shirt. So I know that's a random thing to announce, but the calls, there's been a lot. And so just trying to help her out in that. So if you have that and would like a smaller shirt, please bring your other shirt and we can hook you up. If you want a bigger shirt, there's always next year. So we are glad that you are here. Again, fill out those cards for us, please. And now I'm going to turn it over to Matt Hawes, one of our shepherds, and spend some time in prayer together.
Before we pray this morning, I wanted to mention to you that this is Tucker and Elizabeth's last Sunday with us. Not here on earth, but here at this church. And, they could live another 20, 30 years easy. But I can tell you that this transition process has been no harder on anyone than them. I observed the care and the prayer they exhibited in not only the decision they made, but also the mindful and considerate way that they prepared for the manner and the timing in which they would communicate that decision to the youth and their parents. I say this only to express to our youth and their parents that the Sullivans care for you very much. I know I speak for all the elders that we appreciate the Sullivans' work and service at this place so much, and you'll be missed. We're also blessed that Eric, not only having the ability and the willingness, but the desire to step into this role and continue to shape and oversee our youth in the coming months. So to Tucker and Elizabeth, we know that you'll be a blessing to your new church home, and we wish you a pleasant transition. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly approach your presence this morning first, thanking you for your love and your grace and for the avenue of prayer, for your sustenance and for sending your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, without whom we would be lost and hopeless. As we pray and present our petitions, Father, help us to wait faithfully for your answer, having full knowledge that whatever your response, it will be well, it will be right, and it will be your will and not ours. It is also our prayer this morning that we be bold in our daily walk and in our service to you, sharing fearlessly our witness with others of your love and your power and your faithfulness. Heavenly Father, we have those of our family and friends that need your comfort, your healing power, and the need to be reminded of your constant presence and knowledge of your steadfast love for each of them. We pray this morning for the Smith family and the loss of Monty, for the Jones family and the passing of Debbie, for Kelly Finley, thanking you that her medical procedure was successful, for Ronnie Brown and the ongoing health issues he faces, for David Ferguson, for Curtis Bradshaw, for Jonathan Ramirez, for John Shaw, for Linda Dixon, and for Phil Martz, who faces procedures even today, for Jenny Wicks and for little Eli Hodges as they anticipate his upcoming tests, for Stan Clark, that his upcoming procedure will be successful and his pain will be relieved. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that we live in a sinful world, a world where Satan and those he has influenced seek to deceive us into believing that the moral decay of our cities, the corruption, the hate, the hostile behavior on our streets and campuses are normal. As Christians, Heavenly Father, may we always seek your will and study your inspired word so that we may always have a clear understanding of what is right and what is wrong, seeking daily a portion of your wisdom for our discernment. Heavenly Father, today we have two of your faithful servants in Tucker and Elizabeth who will be leaving us to continue their ministry in a new location, and we pray your blessings upon them as they enter a new phase of their lives and continue their service to you at their new church home. We pray for their safety and for an easy transition as they move forward in your service. Heavenly Father, we know that we often fall short of exhibiting the mind of Christ and do not act as we should. So we ask your forgiveness and pray for your strength to help us to live our lives as you would have us. Help us to lift one another up and to be kind to each other. It's also our prayer this morning, Heavenly Father, that our service and our praise to you today will be acceptable in your sight. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray, and amen.
Alas,
In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 through verse 7, the text says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Everybody in this room and everybody around the world has been searching for one thing, and that's peace with God. And what's so neat about it, it's what Christ did upon the cross that provides and paves that road so that we can have peace with God. It's not about the great works that we do. God's not sitting up in heaven with a checkboard. I know parents sometimes end up telling their children that, but I'm sorry, cat's out of the bag on that one. But we needed that relationship to be perfect, and we couldn't do it. And the blood of Jesus Christ is what cleansed our sin, took it away. And just a quick example of that, I want you to imagine that somebody has wearing a white shirt and they have eaten barbecue and it dripped on their white shirt and they tried to wash it, they tried to bleach it, and yet the stain, it's technically clean, but the stain is still there. And you can see the remnant of it. With Jesus' blood, it's as if you never committed the sin to begin with. You have this perfect relationship, this peace with Jesus Christ. So this morning, as we partake of these emblems, as we partake of the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, what we're doing is we are, with thanksgiving in our heart, showing an absolute appreciation for what Christ did upon that cross for us, spilling his blood for us so that we could be perfect and complete in front of God. Let's pray. Dear God, our Father, we love you so much. We're very thankful that we could all meet together this morning to praise you, to praise your Son, to praise the Holy Spirit. We're so thankful that you were willing to send your Son to die for us so that we could have forgiveness of sin. We pray that as we partake of this unleavened bread, which represents the body of Christ upon that cross, that we would do so remembering and being thankful and praising him in our hearts for the reason why he did it, which is love. We thank you for everything, Lord. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Well, might the sun in darkness shine and shine in glory sin, when Christ mighty Savior died for man a creature's sin. At the cross, your good soul light, and the burden of my heart will away. It was there
while Jesus was sitting with his apostles at the Last Supper. He told them what they were doing. He gave them the bread and he said, "This is my body." And then he said something interesting. When they're passing around the cup, he said, "This fruit of the vine is the new covenant in my blood." The entire New Testament covenant, what we call it, the New Testament covenant, is all dependent upon the blood of Jesus Christ. And so when we partake of this fruit of the vine, what we are doing is, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we are proclaiming the Lord's death, proclaiming his love, proclaiming what he did, proclaiming his desire to have us with him in eternity. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Dear God, our Father, we love you so much, and we're thankful for the blood that was spilt on Calvary's cross. We pray, dear God, that as we partake of this fruit of the vine, which represents that blood that was spilt, we would do so remembering and being thankful and praising in our hearts the sacrifice that was made. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is a time that the elders have set aside for us to give back to the Lord as we have prospered. So let's go to our Father in prayer. Dear God, our Father, we're so thankful for all the many blessings you've given us. We're thankful for the country that we are in despite its flaws. We're thankful for this congregation that is made up of men and women and children that we're not perfect by ourselves, but with you, we are complete. We're thankful, Lord, that you have blessed us beyond measure and that we can give back and we can give every day of the week to those who are in need. Help us, Lord, to do your will. Help us, Lord, to fight the good fight of faith. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Matt. 20 to 30 years, huh? That's it. So LTC, Leadership Training for Christ, is a wonderful, wonderful thing that our group has gotten to be involved in for years. Specifically, these last couple of years have been just awesome. It is a well-oiled machine. It is an oiled machine, sometimes more oiled than others. And a lot of times I'm the one that needs to apply more oil, but we got there and it was wonderful. There's a lot of different people that play different roles in this, and so there's some shout outs to give. I want to thank the coaches. First off, Bill Allen coaching the drama, David and Marla Canifax with the middle school puppets, Ginger Pippin with the high school puppets, Kelly Ross with the chorus, and Emily Taylor helping out with the hospitality suite, and also Kathy Hallman with some of her wonderful chocolate bacon. There's a lot of, like I said, a lot of things that go into this through the preparation and months leading up, and just a lot of different moving parts. The banquet Saturday night. But one of the biggest things I want to give is to the parents. You give so much of your time to this, and I recognize the time that you're giving up away from your students, and this is time that you can't get back. But I hope that you know how good of an investment that it is, giving this time over to LTC. So we had 20 participants from third grade to the seniors, or I believe fourth grade this year. Grayson McCauley, Gage Moore, Cord Diller, Kaisley Blackstone, Brody Davidson, Caitlin DeLibide, Cade Thornton, Wesley Thornton, Reese Pippin, Taryn Tapley, Annie Moore, Cohen Monahan, Casey Alvey, Riley Hill, Laney Canifax, Carter Pippin, Montana Lewis, Jolie Alvey, Logan Stone, and Jordan Hill. So a good big group to participate. We participated in a Bible quiz, chorus, drama, middle school and high school puppets, art, Bible reading, song leading, speech. Lots of different awards given out. This is the second year in a row that the only bronze that we got was from the one event that I coached. And so 2 years running, we got three bronze, three silver, and a lot of gold. We also got one scholarship. Mr. Logan Stone received the David Shelburne Scholarship for 1,000 buckaroos. And so very, very exciting stuff. This is a special weekend. All the time leading up to it is special. The medals are special, but really, that's not why we do LTC. We talked this morning in class about the community that we have within the youth group and the friendships that we have there, and that's really what it's about. All the hours and hours and hours spent leading up to Easter weekend spent together and the inside jokes and the laughs, or Saturday night at banquet whenever we've got our group of seniors up there and everyone's crying and telling them how much they mean to them. And then the seniors just setting that example for our younger students. We do it because really this is what the church looks like. In Acts chapter 2, as the early church is just forming, this is what we see. We see the church spending time together, sharing together, just spending life together. And that's a lot of what LTC is. And everyone plays a part. There are no consumers whenever it comes to LTC. If you're an LTC, you're a contributor. And so I just want to thank everybody who played a role in this. Thank you to the coaches and the parents and the students once again. And we are so excited for all this to come. Thank you.
And at this time, and turn your attendance cards to the aisle nearest to you, and they'll be picked up. Those involved in the BLAST program are dismissed to go to their classes at this time. In heavenly underworld, the power belongs to the Lord.
Thank you.
Battle belongs to the Lord. Do you believe that? If you think about an indication that we actually do believe that, that the battle belongs to the Lord, it's what we're talking about in this sermon series right now, which is prayer. Powerful prayers. Prayer is an indication that you actually do believe that the battle is not yours, that it belongs to the Lord. Bold actions are preceded by bold prayers. A lot of times we will look to the church and we will ask ourselves, why aren't we doing more? Why aren't we being more bold? Why aren't we expressing ourselves better? A lot of things like that. And it could go back, not necessarily, but it could go back to our prayer lives. Bold actions are preceded by bold prayers. In this series, we're calling it powerful prayers, and those powerful prayers are what lead to bold actions. The church had existed for less than a year in the early part of the book of Acts. All the Christians were still in Jerusalem, which was the city where Jesus had been crucified just months before. And so now the new church had an issue, and that issue involved being threatened. The still new church received their first threats. How would they react? The first four chapters of Acts gives us that brief early history of the church. And as Jay shared, as we gathered around the table and pointed back to that verse in 1 Corinthians 11 that says when we partake of this Lord's Supper, this communion, it is a proclamation. It is boldly proclaiming that we believe that Jesus is Lord without saying a word. And so now the question for the church as we look at these first several chapters is, will you continue to boldly proclaim that Jesus is Lord non-verbally by meeting together and partaking of the Lord's Supper together and verbally by sharing that message now that you are threatened about doing that? Sovereign Lord, their prayer began. The incidents of the last couple of days had driven the young church to its knees in Acts chapter 4. But what were those? Well, a brief history. In Acts chapter 1, the church is doing what Jesus said. They're waiting. Jesus has ascended. They're waiting for the power to be given them from on high. They've replaced Judas Iscariot. Now Matthias is one of the 12 apostles. And they're waiting and they're praying. They're praying. This group of 120 or so. And then in Acts chapter 2, the power of this Holy Spirit comes with a bang. And the apostles begin to speak in other languages. And everyone that had been there for the Passover was very likely still there because that's what they did. They would travel for the Passover. And then the next big Jewish feast was the Feast of Pentecost. Named that because it was 50 days later. And so we're less than 2 months out from the time that Jesus was crucified. And now the Holy Spirit has been given. And they begin to preach and teach this same gospel of Jesus Christ, but in all kinds of different languages. Why? Because there were all languages represented there. And Luke in Acts chapter 2 records those regions of the world where the Jews had come from and were still there in Jerusalem. And they were amazed because they each heard the gospel preached in their own language. And Peter is the one that Luke records his sermon. And Peter charts the Jewish history. And then he gets down to the crucifixion of Jesus. And he very boldly, towards the end of Acts chapter 2, says, God has made this same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, the long-awaited Messiah. We've been looking for this son of Abraham, this son of David, to come and save us and establish his kingdom. And now he came and we killed him. We killed him. And that's what Peter told them had happened. And it hit them hard. It hit them hard. I would imagine that they'd already been thinking about that long before this day of Pentecost came. Because they saw the events, they probably participated in the events that caused Jesus to be crucified. They were, probably many of them had been a part of that bloodthirsty crowd that kept crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And then they heard that the tomb was empty and that he had been raised, and they heard this horrible story that these weak disciples that had all run for their lives had overpowered this extra strong Roman guard, heavily armed, with the warning that if you let this man get free and his body is no longer here, then it will be your life or his life. And somehow these disciples came and overpowered them and stole the body of Christ. It's ridiculous. They all knew it. And now they're seeing this. And Peter shares with them, he connects it to the Old Testament, to great passages that were pointing to the Messiah, from the book of Psalms especially, and starting with that fulfillment of what Joel the prophet had said in Joel chapter 2. And they interrupt him in Acts chapter 2. They interrupt him and they say, "What do we do?" And the answer came back, "Repent and be baptized, every single one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And 3,000 were baptized that day, and the church was off and running with a bang. And they met together every day. They encouraged each other every day. If someone was in need, the others kicked in and they provided for each other. And they met and they worshiped and they helped and they served, and they did all of that with great joy. And then in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, two apostles, are walking into the temple area, and there at the entrance where they were, there was this man who had been lame from birth. He never walked. And all he could do to raise money was, he had people that came and brought him there to the gate, and he was hoping that maybe some sympathetic worshipers would come in, or maybe some guilty worshipers would look at him and they would shell out a few coins. And Peter and John come to him and they stop and they look at him, and he thinks, "Oh, I'm going to get some money," but he's going to get something much better, because they say, "We don't have any money to give you. But what we do have, we'll share. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And the man gets up and he starts walking, and then he starts jumping and he starts dancing, and he is overjoyed. And everyone notices it and they can't believe it. And Peter and John start to preaching. Of course, you know, being a good preacher, he says, "Oh, well, there's a crowd here. I've got their attention. Let's go." And he does. And it's very much like, very likely, what was the sermon in Acts chapter 2 and the early sermons that we read in the book of Acts. And he says, "It shouldn't surprise you at all that God has done this great thing. He's given us his one and only Son, whom you crucified, by the way, but he raised from the dead, and now that same power has been extended to this man. And if there's any question about what happened here, it is by the name of Jesus Christ that this has happened." Well, the Jewish leaders are now beginning to get nervous. And so they call them in. And remember, these are the same Jewish leaders who, less than 2 months previously, had this horrible, crazy trial, and had turned Jesus over to the Roman authorities and had him crucified, and they all saw it. And now they call in Peter and John and they say, "What gives? What are you doing? What happened here?" And Peter says, "Look, if we're being accused of doing a good deed to a man, guilty. And if you want to know how we did it, it is by the name of Jesus Christ that this man walks today. And salvation is found in no other name than that name, Jesus Christ." And the authorities look at each other and they say, "Y'all go out for a minute," and they talk to each other and they say, "Look, we don't know a lot about what's happened here, but one thing we do know, these men had been with Jesus. We thought we were done with this when we had him killed 2 months ago. And now we've got to deal with his followers that are doing the same kinds of things, saying the same kinds of things, living the same kind of way. What are we going to do?" Well, they confer together, and they say, "Okay," they call them back in, and they say, "Okay, look, the next day," they spend the night in prison, in jail, and they say, "Okay, here's the deal. You are not to speak anymore in this name of Jesus. And believe me, if you do, the punishment will be fierce. And they didn't punish them that day, but they threatened them. And these are not empty threats. These are men who had just killed Jesus of Nazareth. And now they're saying, we're going to get you the same kind of stuff. So you better shut up about this Jesus. And they very boldly said, okay, well, you guys decide whether we should obey human beings instead of God. But we can't help but keep speaking about what we have seen and heard. It's going to happen. And so then they release them. And then towards the end of chapter 4, what do they do? How would they react? And they go back to the church. And they tell them the whole story. Here's everything that's happened. Here's everything they said. The church responds by praying for boldness to speak and to serve. We read beginning in Acts chapter 4, verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. I love that. I love that. I'm sure the church had already been praying for Peter and John because they knew what the potential was to happen here. They had seen it too. And now the church is meeting and they're praying and Peter and John are released and they go back and they meet with the church and they tell them everything. Here's what's happened. Here's what they said. Verse 24, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against the Anointed One. Verse 27, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Verse 29, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Upon their release, they report to the church everything that has happened, and the church prays. But the church doesn't pray what we expect them to pray. Lord, keep your servant safe, which I think would be a very appropriate prayer. Lord, help us not to go to prison. Help us not to be beaten and flogged. Help us not to be killed like Jesus was. And maybe they did pray some of those prayers. I imagine they did, but that's not what is recorded. They pray for courage and boldness to speak and to heal, which amazingly enough is what landed Peter and John in jail in the first place. And now they're praying, Lord, give us the courage to keep doing what we did to get there and to get these threats. Let's talk about their prayer. Their prayer, first of all, their prayer acknowledged God's sovereignty. I love this. I love this. I think it's okay to, when there's a real crucial moment in your life and you're completely overwhelmed with something that's going on, I think when you pray, you go right there. And you stay there and you pray over and over and over and you pray hard about that crisis that's going on in your life. But I think there are times in our lives when we go to God in prayer and that's not where we start. Instead, we start where they started. In spite of the horrible threat, they start with praise. They start acknowledging God's sovereignty. In chapter 4, beginning at verse 24, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. They begin by acknowledging God's sovereignty, which I think is what we just sang about a little bit ago, wasn't it? The battle belongs to who? The battle belongs to the Lord. And I think that's what they're doing. They're saying, God, this is your fight. This is your fight. They acknowledge God's sovereignty. Sovereign Lord, their prayer begins. Their prayer acknowledged God's wonderful acts. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant David, our father. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. He quotes from Psalm 2 here in this prayer. And it's a royal psalm and it's a messianic psalm, and they knew it looked ahead to the one who would be the ultimate ruler of not only Israel but of the world. They called God the sovereign Lord, and they acknowledged God's wonderful acts. Next, their prayer acknowledged the seriousness of the threat. And I think it's important for us to remember this. Beginning in verse 27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats, they said. They didn't sugarcoat it. They didn't pretend like it wasn't nothing. They didn't get into that place where they somehow believed that it was impossible for these men to carry out their threats. They knew better. They knew this absolutely could happen. And so they prayed to the Father, consider their threats. We know they can do it. We've already seen it happen. And this time we could be on the receiving end. There's a term called the Stockdale Paradox. I mentioned it before. It comes from Admiral James Stockdale, who was a Vietnam pilot and was incarcerated in the Hanoi Hilton, the horrible, horrible prison that the Vietnamese had for the Americans and their allies. And he was there in prison for 7.5 years. And later he was asked, after he was finally released, they asked him, how did you survive it? And they said, who was it that this was so hard on? And he said, well, it was the ones who blindly said, oh, we're going to be released by Christmas. And Christmas would come and go. Oh, we're going to be released by Easter, and Easter would come and go. Or we're going to be released by the end of the year, and the year would end and start over. And it destroyed them. And he said, here's what had to happen. He said, it is the ability to hold two opposing but equally true things at once. You must have faith that you will prevail in the end. And at the same time, you must confront the brutal facts of your current reality. It's one thing to say, yes, God will deliver me through this, but that's quite another thing to deny the reality of what is threatening your life at the moment. And to know how serious this is and to acknowledge how serious this is. And so you pray with that in mind, and that's what Admiral Stockdale did. He was able to say, you know, they could do this. Things could get worse. We could die here. That's true. But I believe that we're going to be rescued. I believe that God will help us through this. The early disciples acknowledged the seriousness of the threat. And then in their prayer, they asked for God's help to speak and to act with boldness. As our shepherd Matt shared during our prayer, to be bold in our daily walk. What a great way to say that. To be bold in our daily walk. That's what they prayed for. Again, they didn't pray for deliverance. They didn't pray for safety. They didn't pray that everything would work out in their lives so they wouldn't have to suffer at the hands of these Jewish leaders. Now, and like I said, I think they probably prayed that sometimes. But this prayer, this moment, what they prayed for was courage and boldness to speak the word of God and to continue to act in ways that would demonstrate to the community, including these Jewish leaders, that their faith was solidly in the name of Jesus Christ. They prayed that they could speak and they could act with boldness. And I want you both to know, Tucker and Elizabeth, that's our prayer for you. That's our prayer for you, to continue to speak and act with the bold humility that we have seen you speak and act with here. And we know you will do that. We know you'll do that. And that's our prayer for each other, that God will give us courage and boldness so that we can speak and act faithfully to the word of God. We're going to sing a little bit later the familiar hymn, Anywhere with Jesus, including the verse that goes like this, Anywhere with Jesus over land and sea, telling souls in darkness of salvation free, ready as he summons me to go or to stay, anywhere with Jesus when he points the way. That is our prayer today, because that was their prayer then. That whatever's ahead, God, wherever you send us, that we will boldly continue to proclaim your name. What was the result of this great prayer? The place where they prayed was shaken, which made them the more unshaken. That's what some have commented on about verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They did exactly what they had prayed God would give them the courage to do, to stand up when they need to stand up, to speak out when they need to speak out, to share this story even when they're threatened with consequences. They prayed that, and then they went out and they did it. The place where they prayed was shaken, which made them the more unshaken. And that's what trusting faithful praying does. Trusting faithful praying results in action. And we see that in the rest of this chapter. As the disciples continue what they did from the start at the end of Acts chapter 2, that is making sure that everybody had what they needed. They had all their needs met. Whatever that took, they would do that. They would share with each other. There was this great sense of unity. There was this great sense of generosity. One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. And we see that. We see that in these LTC pictures, Leadership Training for Christ. We see it in our young at heart. We see it in a wedding shower for Tyler and Crystal in this afternoon. We see it in the rite of passage for our new 13-year-olds. We see it in every ounce of activity and blessing that comes from this church family. Trusting, faithful, praying results in action. We need powerful praying today. The battle belongs to the Lord. When we pray, we're confessing that. We're acknowledging that. And we need that kind of powerful praying today. We need people to boldly tell of what they have seen and heard. What you have seen and heard. Yes, take them to Scripture, like in Acts chapter 2 or in Acts chapters 3 and 4, but tell them your story. Tell the story by telling your story, and be willing to do that, whatever the consequences. We need people to trust in God, who is the real power of prayer. We need people who will act on that trust and faith. We need people who will pray what we're about to sing, "Be with me, Lord." And He will, I promise you. He will. My favorite verse of any verse of a song or a hymn is one of the ones that Davey will lead us in just a moment. Be with me, Lord, no other gift or blessing thou couldst bestow could with this one compare. A constant sense of thy abiding presence, where'er I am, to feel that thou art near. That's the prayer we're going to sing, and if we can help you be bold in your service to Christ and his people, come as we stand and sing this great prayer.
Be with me, Lord, I cannot live without thee.
Verses 1 and 3 of Anywhere with Jesus, and then we'll be dismissed in prayer. Anywhere with Jesus, I can say, we go.
Father, we are grateful for today. We're thankful for this time that we have to come together as your church and to study your word and to worship you. Father, as we leave here today, I pray that you watch over each of us, keep us safe, and give us opportunities to serve you every day. Most of all, we're thankful for your son and his sacrifice on the cross, and we pray this in his name. Amen.